Milky Chance and Jack Johnson on that track, Don't Let Me Down. Ahead of that, Camila Cabello with Bam Bam, easing you into your morning right here on Radio Life and Style, 15 minutes past 10. And time's passing quite quickly, but that's not a problem. It's Heritage Day weekend, and everybody, I'm sure, is just counting down the hours. Now, a conversation that's just going to help that time tick on by a little faster, subject matter that I am really interested in, and I think it's impossible not to be. If you're a pet lover, if you're a dog lover, then this one is for you. In studio, I am joined by Belinda Bolter and Colby Cool Cat, the coolest vibe on the block.
Hello, Leah. Thank you very much for having us this morning.
I am honored, really, and Colby's dressed up for the occasion as well.
Yes, we had to find his Heritage Day bow tie and his beautiful Rogues harness so that he looks quite spiffy. He's ready to be in studio.
Oh, he does look spiffy indeed. And today we're basically chatting around, you know, dogs, how they have kind of integrated themselves into our lives, how these relationships have evolved since earlier times. I mean, at a stage, I think dogs and pets in general were more for service and kind of there to serve a purpose. And
100%.
As life has become safer,
yeah,
and, you know, unless you live in Joburg, I mean,
sorry for that.
As life has become a little more predictable, rather, dogs have kind of, like, you know, leveled up on the food chain and very much are there to be loved. But there are ways in which we can really maximize these relationships. And I know that you are currently somewhat of an expert and becoming even more so through your studies.
Yes, hopefully we'll be a qualified animal behaviorist by the end of next year. So that's just adding on to what I've already been doing. So I've been involved with dog training since 2000. So it's actually...
Wow.
Yeah, no, sorry, 2001. So it's 21 years this year.
That is amazing.
It's been a long time.
And what led you into this industry? Have you always just had a good way with dogs, or is this something that, you know, evolved as you met the dog of your life? Like, sometimes that's what happens.
Well, I think it's probably right through our childhood. I think if I go back and I have a look at family photo albums, there's me as a baby with dogs around me, and I had a little dog called Bambi. It was like a little Chihuahua cross miniature Doberman, and it used to be on the Lilo with me in the pool as a baby. So I think if I have a look back to that, and then obviously growing up, we've always had dogs. And then, yes, I did meet a very special dog, and that was back in 2001. Her name was Kiara. We called her Queen Kiara, a Bull Mastiff Cross Doberman, and she's the first dog that I actually started training with. So that was my introduction into puppy school, teenage training, and then doing obviously obedience work with her, and just developed the passion. And then it was originally a side hobby for me, because I was still in the police at that time,
right,
and not in the dog unit. I was a lecturer in the police, a trainer, so to train the policemen how to be good policemen.
Okay.
But that was just a hobby for me, to work with dogs, and I had committed myself to that. And for about 13 years, I volunteered at a puppy school called EduPup on the Bluff.
Wow!
And that is how I got a lot of my basic skills, and then obviously had a lot of opportunities to do a number of courses through wonderful food companies that gave us opportunities. And yeah, ever since then, just been very involved with that. And then when I left government completely, I was stuck around for a while, finding out, well, I've got to find something to do.
Right.
And so that's how the dog business came about.
So what I'm hearing from this conversation, and something I'd like to pick up on there, is yes, there was a natural inclination. And I mean, you know, if you're a dog person, you don't need somebody to tell you. But this is a skill set, not only that the dog is learning, but you are learning as well.
100%. And I think that's where a lot of, you know, our regular folk, they make the mistake. They think, and they'll contact me, and it will be like, please, can you train my dog? Yes, I can train your dog. But what I do is I actually train the human as well. So the kind of style of training that I like to do is with the humans of that particular family. It can be one person, or it can be the whole family that works with the dog. And I do encourage the families to get involved, because if everybody's on the right page and on the same page, you end up having less behavioral challenges going forward. So I think for me, that's why your starting point is puppy school. So obviously I'll give myself a little punch here. One-to-one personal puppy school is a great start to get your basics, and it's just a six-week course which will give you some kind of basic ideas of how to move forward with your puppy.
My natural next question from there is a dog ever too old to go to school?
Never too old.
So to learn new tricks.
No, never too old. But that's a good question, because if we have a look at socializing is imperative from the age of 3 weeks when they're with the breeder or the rescue organization.
Okay.
Up until, and you've got a very, very limited window, 16 weeks.
What?
So your age limit is from 3 weeks to 16 weeks for your socializing start. And what we mean by socializing, it's humans, it's experiences, like even bringing them up to the shopping mall.
Yeah.
It's walking on a road with busy traffic, and it's desensitizing. And obviously we do that more as they get a little bit older, but it is important to start experiencing those things as a young dog. So if your dog hasn't had that opportunity before 16 weeks, we end up having a lot of fear dogs, we've got aggressive dogs, because they've never had the opportunity to learn how to be a dog in that first 16 weeks.
Okay.
So it is critical, and obviously we've got to watch out for things like parvo and that kind of stuff. So a lot of the times your vet will tell you, wait till you've had your second or third round of vaccinations, because your puppy's immune system hasn't been developed yet.
Right.
And unfortunately, something that we struggle with in KZN, well, actually South Africa as a whole, but particularly KZN and this area in particular, is rabies.
Oh.
So rabies is, you know, one of the shots that your dog is going to get. And that's why there is not so much encouragement for you to take out your dogs during that time.
Okay.
However, it is critical that you then start doing things at home. So like putting on a hat, putting on gumboots, a big jacket, putting up an umbrella, because your dog might only see that maybe when it's 8 months old, because we don't have rainy season. So it's doing all of these little things, putting on a blender, putting on the vacuum, and obviously desensitizing it in a happy way. So we use a lot of food. I generally use my dog's food and then obviously add on some medium to high value treats, but it's about making the experience fun.
Yes, and that positive reinforcement.
100%. So if a dog is a little bit nervous or anxious about something, so last night I was in Umhlanga, I had a client with a Yorkie puppy, 10 weeks old. She's bought this wonderful doggy board game, and I call it board games for dogs. And I'll show you the little video when I'm finished here. But it's a cute little a game where the basics of the game is the dog's got to use their nose, their paws, and they've got to sniff out the treat. But the treat is in a little drawer. So firstly, this puppy, and the lady bought this game, and she wanted obviously the pup to engage, but it was quite nervous and backing off. And I wish I had videoed the first time that it actually tried to go towards the thing, because it just scuttled away and was like quite nervous, didn't bark. So what we did is we did a trail of treats. So this is a tip out there for anybody that owns a dog. If your dog is a little bit nervous or scared of something, we call it a trail of treats.
Okay.
So you put a whole lot of treats down towards the item that they're a little bit nervous of, and then even putting the treat on the item if the item is safe. So this is how we got the dog to eventually engage, and then eventually opening the drawer with its paw and its mouth to actually get the treat reward.
It is actually, it is so clever, and it baffles me to know how much we've learned in such a short space of time, and also the intrigue to know how far these relationships can go. And then you get into specific breeds and their superpowers. I like to call them superpowers because it really is. I mean, if you've ever seen dogs at work.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you think we're going with this? And especially into the next leg of this conversation, your studies, you are looking into animal behavioral psychology. And I mean, how much have we learned in this space, and how much is yet to be discovered?
So that is also an awesome question. It is evolving continuously. So like we were chatting a little bit earlier, I would have loved to have started this about 11 years ago. Having said that, the organization that I'm studying through is COPE, which is a fantastic organization. It also gives you a qualification that's recognized worldwide.
Amazing.
So it's an international qualification.
For anybody who has the intrigue or the inclination to...
Yeah, well, get in touch with me, and I'm happy to put you in contact with the organization. It is UK-based, but we have the company out here in South Africa. It's Joburg. And the lead lady who's in charge of it is Karen Pinar. And she's been involved with animal behavior for many years. So when we study animal behavior, it's actually not just dogs. It's cats. It's they've got a project with the cheetahs. They've got so many different projects that you can get involved with. So it's a wonderful opportunity. So for any parent that's listening, because I'm sure all the children are at school, and their child has got that kind of, you know, is moving in that direction, then this is a wonderful course to actually consider doing.
That is incredible.
So, yeah, so they can get in touch with me, and I can put them in contact with the organization.
I would love to leave our listeners with some information as to how they can get in touch with you, how they can follow your work, and anybody who's listening to this conversation right now and realizes, hey, there's a little bit of work to be done with my pet. How can they get hold of you and, you know, be part of the training and learn?
Yeah, so we offer, obviously there are some group trainings, but it's mostly private training. So it's one-to-one personal private and dog training. And they can get in touch with me on WhatsApp. So my number is 083-56-00462. The best way to get in touch is you can either leave me a voice note or just give me a text message, and I will try and get back to you within 24 hours. I do try, because often when I'm busy with training other dogs or my lectures, my phone is on silent.
Of course.
So yeah, so we will make an effort to come back to you. But yeah, I really do encourage people. It's the best way to bond with your dog, doing some basic training. And like you said earlier, or you actually asked the question, is a dog too old to be trained? Any dog can be trained. And even if you're sitting there with a geriatric that's 10 years old, we can always help making your dog have a better life and, you know, just putting that relationship together.
Well, you've heard it here on Radio Life and Style. Whether you or your dog are the geriatric, you are never too old to learn some new tricks. Get hold of Belinda. Please do. And make the best out of this relationship. It's the most beautiful thing in the world when you do have that bond with your pet. And I mean, it's just an effort away.
Yeah, it is. And look, you know what? When you do get a dog, you have to commit for their life.
Yeah.
And so for me also, making them part of your everyday life. So I'm a runner, not running so fast at the moment, but we go out every day. And even if we don't run, we're doing a walkabout, and we call it a sniffari. Oh. So the dogs have a chance to have a good sniff and smell of what's happening in the neighborhood. But also, that's something else that I can put out there. We've got a walking group every Wednesday.
Fantastic.
We mostly walk in Simbiti, but there are other couple locations that we walk on. We're starting now 6:45 in the morning, and we walk for an hour. And obviously, as it gets a little bit warmer, we'll bring that down to about 6:30. But that's also something that I offer. You know, so if you can't meet us on that, and that walk is for free.
That
so anybody
amazing.
Can join us. And it's a great opportunity to practice your skills. There's loads of other dogs around. Everybody's on dog lead. Everybody's dog is on dog lead. It would be very interesting if the humans were on lead. Hey?
Well, sometimes I think it is the other way around. And I love that opportunity. If you're not sure just yet, but this is something that you're interested in, can you leave our listeners with your number one last time?
Yes, yeah, sure. My number is 083-56-00462.
Bea, thank you so much for coming in today. I mean, I could sit and chat to you until 12 o'clock, but I do need to play some music. This has been wonderfully insightful, and I'm so excited to get a puppy one day. I know exactly where I will be bringing her or him to. You heard it on Radio Life and Style. That was Belinda Bolter. If you missed this conversation, you can catch up on the Radio Life and Style app, and I'll drop that number for you one more time later on in the show. Back to the music for now, though. It's Zara Larsson and Lush Life.